I spend way too much time on Facebook. Way, way too much time. And I like to think it's profitable because I spend a lot of time on boards that at least are claiming to be involved with the Church of Christ, and spend a lot of time trying to correct error that's taught, spend a lot of time trying to correct logic that isn't there. And it's tiring. I literally, this week, was just breaking down to the most fundamental concepts I could, and I was trying to convince someone that 3 plus 3 was 6, and I could not get them to say yes. And when that happens, it is just tiring. It is amazingly tiring. And when I'm looking to rejuvenate myself, I go and I read the Bible. And I love reading the Bible, and I love hearing the Bible read. We had a thing back in Arkansas where we would rotate what we were doing each Wednesday night. One Wednesday would be all about prayer. One Wednesday would be a class. One Wednesday would be a study on some topic. And one Wednesday would be reading from the Scripture. And sometimes it would be just a linear passage, like we read Esther one Wednesday. And sometimes it would be topical, so we would move from place to place. But I thought it was just so wonderful to just sit there for 45 minutes and listen to the Word be read. Thought back to, I believe it was Josiah, the king that just brought out the books and had it read, and they did it for a whole day. It might have been multiple days, I don't remember, but at least a whole day. I love listening to people read. I love it because when I read a passage, and then I come back and I read a passage, I tend to read it the same way. And I get to hear these new inflections, and I get to hear it from a different perspective. And it can help me see things that have been there all along that I've never seen were there. In the absence of getting to hear it read, I like to look at different translations. And I spend a fair amount of time comparing the translations to the Greek, but to Strong's and Thayer's, because I don't speak Greek. But I spend a lot of time looking at them and seeing them from different perspectives. And so I try to switch around which Bibles I'm using. Now, I've been using here in class the New American Standard Bible and the King James 3. And we were looking in Philippians the other day. And the translations I had before were talking about your fellowship in the gospel, and I believe the King James is your communion in the gospel. And what the New American Standard says is your participation in the gospel. And I had never thought of it from that angle before. How do we participate in the gospel? I'm going to read the beginning here. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and the deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrances of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. So what was Paul saying? What was Paul saying that they were participating in the gospel from the first day and until now? Well, the gospel is the good news. But the good news is an ongoing thing. The good news is that Christ came and he died so that we can go to heaven. But it's not very good news if we don't then do the things necessary to go to heaven. If we don't do the things necessary to go to heaven, then we're damned. And so the good news is that we have this avenue and we can take this avenue. And when you take that first step and you, as we say, obey the gospel, in that instance, you are participating in the gospel. You are a furtherance of that good news, and you are an edification to all that are around. And the angels in heaven rejoice. But then as you continue to participate in the gospel, you participate by being servants. You participate by spreading the gospel. You participate by bringing that good news onward to other people, and then the good news of their repentance, and again with the rejoicing in heaven. It's just a beautiful concept to me, the participation, because the way it's phrased, a fellowship in the gospel, fellowship isn't a word I use often, but participation is. And so it made it more concrete in my mind. I've said often in these invitations that when you obey the gospel, you are joining a family, or when you repent because you've left the family, you're rejoining the family. And the whole point of that family is to serve God. And the service of God is the furtherance of that gospel. It's a wonderful thing. I don't have time, or quite likely the ability, to explain how wonderful a thing it is. But it is a wonderful thing to think that God can use us as tools to the service of His kingdom to an effect that heaven rejoices over the saving of one soul. And sometimes, and prior to Facebook, just my whole life, sometimes I would get down a bit because I would talk to someone and I would talk to someone else and I would talk to someone else, and it seemed like everything I was saying was always falling on deaf ears. But that effort is also a participation in the gospel. It is sowing the seed, and it is necessary, and it is a sweet savor to the Lord. If you are ready to join that fellowship and that participation by believing that Jesus is the Son of God, and that He died, and that He was raised, and that that gives us the sacrifice we need to have a home in heaven one day, if you believe that gospel, if you are ready to participate in bringing others, if you have left and have ceased your participation and need to rejoin, we ask that you come forward as we stand and sing.